Good evening. I'd like to start off by thanking those that were able to help in mailing our invitations out. This past Sunday, we changed from 9 people mailing out invitations to 40 people mailing out invitations. And that's a big change. And that number 40, I thought about how that the Bible associates the number 40 with change. And of course, we have a lot of change going on right now with the pandemic. And but I thought about how the Bible uses that. Talks about Noah. With Noah, it rained 40 days and nights. Israel was 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus prayed 40 days in the wilderness. And then Jesus showed himself 40 days after his resurrection. Now, in each of those cases, God took something that was very bad and turned it into something that was very good. The pandemic is a bad situation for us, and it's changing every one of us today. The question is, are we going to let that change be for the bad, or are we going to let God take that change and change us for the good? We're going to need to be the best version. We need to let God allow us to be the best version of ourselves. Well, we're going to open up here in prayer, then we'll have some singing and the message from the pastor. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for, Lord, allowing us, Lord, to be able to go to you in prayer. And, Lord, to know that you hear our prayers, to know that you are with us, whatever the situation is here, Lord. And, Lord, we know that as humans we change, the world changes. We know you are the same, Lord. Lord, we're not going to change our doctrine. We're not going to change the Word of God. We're not going to change, Lord, you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will change us, Lord, that you would make us better Christians, draw us closer to you. Lord, help the pastors he preaches this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All is still, heaven is silent. Like that. questions, seen blank expressions, felt the pain that sin has caused. I've dealt with heartache, I've watched the hearts break of families who suffered great loss. I've sometimes wondered about the stress we are under. I admit I've even asked why. Then I recall the answer to all of life's questions is Jesus Christ. He is the hope for the hopeless, the water, the giver of life. He is the strength for the weary, love for those cast aside. He gives rest to the restless, freedom from fear. When things seem impossible, know that he's near. For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ. Desperately searching for answers you can't seem to find. So many choices, wrestling with voices, looking for some peace of mind. Feeling the shame from past mistakes as the tears fall from your eyes. Don't be discouraged, my friend, take courage. Your answer is Jesus Christ. He is the hope for the hopeless, the water, the giver of life. He is the strength for the weary, love for those cast aside. He gives rest to the restless, freedom from fear. When things seem impossible, know that he's near. For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ. He gives rest to the restless, freedom from fear. When things seem impossible, know that he's near. For all of the problems of life, for all of the pain and the strife, for all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate the good singing this evening. And isn't that good news tonight that the answer is Christ? And I tell you what, in days like we're facing, when it seems like the answer evades us and we can't figure out what the answer is, there's always controversy opening up states. Are you opening up too soon? Are you not opening up fast enough? Or the numbers rising, or they're going down? And so we're all often confused about what the right answer is. But I'm glad the answer in every situation, the right answer is Jesus Christ. And I appreciate the good singing tonight. And thank you, Brother Jimmy, for giving us the update. You know, one thing that we've had to learn to do, or hopefully are learning to do in this time, is that we have to figure out maybe more innovative ways to reaching people with the gospel. And although we're not able to go knock on doors, I'm thankful that we are able to at least get in their homes through mailing them information. And thank you to all those who participated and helped with that. I think, Brother Jimmy, we got over 6,000 mail-outs done, so think about that. 6,000 invitation gospel tracts into people's homes that otherwise may not have ever received that from someone. And so thank you for all your help with that. 1 Peter chapter number 1 is where we'll be tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to begin in verse number 6 down through verse number 9. And again, thank you for tuning in. If you're watching in by way of internet, we're always glad to have you and those listening in through our phone system. Thank you for being faithful. One thing that I'll tell you that we've learned through this pandemic is a couple things. One, I think it's given us a greater desire to be in the house of God. At least it should. So let's, Brother Jimmy mentioned this, how talking about those 40 years, how we have to decide what's going to come out of that. And so hopefully in this time, you've taken the time to get closer to God, and it's given you a greater hunger for the things of God, but also to be around the people of God. And if not, what we have to be careful of is, just like so many times we read in the Bible with the children of God, and so many times we've seen in our history, there's that desire for a little while because something is taken from us. But then as things begin to normalize, we look and we take things for granted. So do not take the things of God for granted. We may not always have it just in a moment, in just a word from a leader. Listen, we didn't come to church, and so we need to take that for granted, not take that for granted. Also want you to pray for the pastors in our state. Pray for our leaders. This week we're going to meet down in Raleigh on Thursday, and we've are presenting a lawsuit on behalf of churches in North Carolina to the state of North Carolina, because again, we look and think, man, all these big box stores are opening up, and if you've been by one or been to one, you see they're not social distancing. You can crawl up on each other just about, but then you come to the house of God, and they won't let you have 10 people in here right now. And so we're just asking for fair treatment. And so you pray that that'll go well. Pray for our leaders, that God would give them wisdom. And not only God would give them wisdom, but that they would accept wisdom. As we've been preaching through Proverbs on Wednesday night for some time now, the book of wisdom. And it seems like wisdom can be given, but we have to receive that wisdom. And so pray for us this week. Pray for all these pastors and Dr. Ron Beatty and Return America, that God would give us wisdom. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6, down through verse number 9, the Bible said, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." So as we look at 1 Peter, we realize that Peter is writing to the churches and writing to the Christians in verse number 1, those that are scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and he's writing to encourage them. Now understand, you realize and know this, as we studied in John 21, how that Peter knew that his death was coming. The Lord had revealed that to him. And now in this this epistle, this letter, he's writing to encourage Christians. Peter praises the Lord in the first part of this chapter in verse 3. He praises him for Jesus being the living hope in verse 4, for a lasting inheritance. And now as we come to this portion of Scripture, he's trying to encourage the believers, because he knew that they would face persecution. We know that we'll face persecution. And so he's looking for the day when he is reunited with the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, a little bit different than us. We've never laid eyes on the Lord. We've never walked with him physically. Peter had, and now he's writing to encourage those because he had spent time with God and spent time with the Lord Jesus. And you and I, though we do not physically spend time with him, we do spend time with him through his word and prayer, through the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. So he's looking for that day when he is reunited with the Lord. And as he writes to these Christians, he's trying to encourage them through their trials. And I want to preach on that thought this morning, faith, or this evening, faith under fire. How that in times of fire, in times of persecution, in times that we're facing, like we are even today, that you and I can have faith and trust God. And that really is the trying of our faith, that we can say that we have faith and we can boast of our faith. And it's easy to do that when things are good, but when things are difficult, when we are facing trials like we are in this season of life, it is that then that our faith really shines. And so oftentimes we forget that we're not immune from trials. We think that because we're saved by the grace of God. I was reading in Hebrews today how that the Lord went on to tell those Hebrews how they need to go back and look at their forefathers in the provocation, how God had delivered them from Egypt, how he'd take care of them in the wilderness, but not all of them would enter into the promised land. And we realize that the promised land is not salvation. It is that abundant Christian life. It is that victorious Christian life. And I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians tonight that honestly have no idea what a victorious Christian life looks like, because every time their faith is under fire, they fail. Every time they go through trials, they question God. Listen, friend, this is not the time to question God. This is not the time to back up. This is the time to display our faith in this trial and under fire. So Peter warns there would be tough days ahead, and he warns us there'll be tough days ahead. He wants his reader to be prepared. He wants them and us to have faith in the fire. He deals with three things in the scripture we're looking at this evening. First of all, he deals with what is pressing us, or what is pressing for us in verse number 5. The Bible said, who are kept by the power of God through faith, excuse me, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So in this scripture, verse number 6, we see, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. So what is pressing for us is our trials. And my friend, may I say, they don't stop. We may have a season of rest, but then we'll have a season of trial. And so in this scripture, we see a couple things. What is pressing for us is, first of all, the length of trials. Now, I realize that if we're not careful, we think that our trials are constant and always there, that they never end, that there's never a reprieve, there's never a rest, there's never a time that we can just rest and enjoy the goodness of God. But the fact is, if you'll be honest tonight, if you'll look at your trials, you'll realize that they are but for a season. And so here, they seem like they last forever. It seems like to me that this pandemic has lasted forever. It seems like it's a new way of life. But let's be honest, it's been 2 months, and I'm 49 years old. 2 months out of 49 years is not all that long. It seems that way, but the fact is, at some point in time, we're going to move on from this, and we're going to see in the rearview mirror this small portion of time in our life that we had a trial. And it's that way with you. When you look at your life and you think about the trials of life, they don't last. They come and they go. Oftentimes, we worry about things that never happen. The trials, we make them bigger than they really are because we do not trust God. We do not have faith in God. We do not spend time trusting God. And so the trials seem bigger than they really are. They seem like they last forever. But the Bible tells us they're for a season. There, Brother Jimmy mentioned this evening, 40 days that Jesus was in the wilderness. 40 years the children of Israel wandered. We look at these things. things, 40 days and 40 nights it rained upon the earth. Can you imagine being stuck in a boat for 40 days? Listen, there's some folks been stuck in their house, and that not even really stuck in their house. They've gone to Walmart. They've gone to the grocery store. They've got out and ridden around. But you know what? Even with that, it seems like we have been confined for this time. So when we look at this, we have to realize that our trials are not lasting. They are but for a season. Now you say tonight, preacher, you don't understand my life. You don't understand what's going on. I've got health problems. I've got financial problems. I've got emotional problems, and they never ease up. May I say one day they'll ease up. It may not be on this side of eternity, but they will not last forever, because one day, if you're saved by the grace of God, all the trials are going to be in the rearview mirror. But even today, let's be honest, our trials do not last. There's good days and bad days. And if you focus on the bad days, I promise you this, you will be discouraged and depressed. So what is pressing for us is the length of trials. That we think they last forever, but the fact is they do not. They're for a season, the Bible tells us. But then also the load of our trials in verse number 6. The Bible said here that wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. So the Lord does acknowledge that there is a weight, or there is a load that comes with trials. Friend, that's not always a bad thing. I was thinking as Brother Jimmy was talking about that time of 40, and I was thinking about this scripture and how that those that work out and they're trying to build muscle, you don't go in there and just lift cans of green beans. You may do that to start out with, but you have to add more weight. You have to add things that are heavier, because it works the muscle, and though it's exhausting, it makes him stronger. And my friend, this evening, as we look at trials in our life, when you're first saved and you're first learning to trust God, you go through maybe smaller trials, and God is faithful. It strengthens our faith. And now you may be going through larger trials, but the same God that got you through the small trials will get you through the larger trials. But he acknowledges that there is a heaviness to it. They weigh us down oftentimes. Sometimes, praise God, they cause us to pray more. They cause us to be more faithful. They cause us to spend time with God. But oftentimes they discourage us because it is out of the norm for us. And so we can become paralyzed if we're not careful. I hope you've not been paralyzed for the last month and a half, 2 months, because of COVID-19, and sat in your house and been depressed and discouraged and worried about this. My friend, may I say, what an opportunity that you and I have in this time to show Christ. And so tonight, as we look at this, if we're not careful, we become paralyzed. We spiritually ball up in the fetal position and just want it to get by. And we look for sympathy, and we look for folks to make us feel better. But may I say this, you better learn to encourage yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because sometimes when you're in the fire, sometimes when you're going through trials, there's no one there for you. There's no one that can bring comfort like you want. If you do not learn to encourage yourself in the Lord, you can become paralyzed. And also sometimes those loads that we have in our trials cause us to stop moving forward. Listen, the Christian life is a walk. It is a moving. It is active. It is not sitting back and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. It is moving toward perfection. And I don't mean in our own power. I mean that as we walk with God, we are becoming more like Christ until the day that we're ultimately like Christ. So don't go backwards. Don't be paralyzed. Don't stop moving forward, though your faith is in the fire. Don't look at this situation and say, if I can just just hunker down until this is over. I can start walking with God again. Walk with him in the fire. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it paralyze you. Don't stop sharing the gospel. Don't stop giving to missions. Don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop praying. Don't stop encouraging other people. Don't make it about you. Realize God wants to use the trials in our life to make us more like Christ. So there's the length of trials and the load of trials, but then notice this, the lot of trials, the lot of trials. The Bible said here in verse number 6, manifold temptation. The word manifold means many. And so it seems like we have a trial here and we learn how to deal with it. And we learn how to trust God. And then another one pops up over here. And rarely are they the same type of trials, because we would get used to dealing with this, and the devil will throw up this, and then we'll get this done, and we'll learn to trust God in this situation, and over here's another trial we have to go through. So they're manifold trials, means many trials, but it also means diverse trials or different trials. Listen, the Christian life is not always the same walk. In other words, we're not always doing the same thing. So we have to learn to adapt in the power of God and adapt to trusting him in every situation. In other words, they hit us from every side, and we have to realize and we have to put on the whole armor of God. You're not going to be able to focus on this one thing. You've got to, the Bible tells us we're to walk circumspectly, we're to walk soberly, we're to be aware of things, we're to avoid pitfalls, we're to avoid the devil. Amen? He's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so this evening, as we look at this, when we go through fire and we go through trials, it may be for a season, and it may be heavy, and then there'll be some reprieve, and then we'll go through another trial. And it may not be the same one that you've already gone through. It may be a whole different one. And so God is trying to get us, and we'll see this, he's trying to refine us. And in that refining process, we have to become more like Christ. And as we become more like Christ, we have to realize that we're not going to face the same thing every single time. So the Bible deals with what is pressing for us. Number two, it deals with what is precious for us. In verse 7, that the trial of your faith, you ought to mark that. That not, listen, not not your necessarily your Bible study time, right? And I love that. And we need that because it helps us get through those trials. But the Bible said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So watch this. This ain't about you. This isn't about your comfort. This is not about your likes and dislikes. This is not about your world and your life. This is about God using you to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice in verse 7, it did not say that your church attendance, right? And I'm glad, praise God, I think if you're saved, you ought to be at church. It did not say that your happiness, it did not say that your financial security is more precious. The Bible said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold. And so understand what he's talking about here is the process of faith, the testing of our faith. Friend, a faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. It's easy to have faith 4 months ago when the bills are being paid and everything's going good and your job's going good, and you come to church when you decide to come and you raise your hand. You say, I just want to thank God for how good he is. He's paid my bills. My job's going great. My kids are acting right. Listen, whatever it is, you're just praising God. Why don't you do it now? Hey, why don't you praise him when you don't know if you're going to have a job next week? Why don't you praise him when you don't know when you're going to be able to go to church again? Why don't you praise him, my friend, when you don't know if there's going to be groceries in the grocery store? Why do we just praise God when times are good and not praise God because he's God? So a faith that is not tested is not trusted. And so we learn to trust God more in each trial.
Listen, think about where Peter's writing from, and here it is. Peter had seen the Lord walk on water. He had seen him calm the storm. He had seen him crucified. He had seen him risen from the dead. He had seen him appear in a room where he was not. He understood the power of God, right? He in John 21, he saw him fire and fish. He understood all that. He had seen Pentecost. And now, as he's writing this letter to these Christians, he's encouraging them at the end of his life that they should understand the process. There's a process in pleasing God. There's a process in faith. It is not just that we miraculously have the faith that we often talk about, the grain of a mustard seed. It's a process, and that process comes with learning to trust God. It does not happen overnight. We have to go through trials to learn to trust God. So we see the process, but then the price of it. We understand tonight that gold is precious. I don't know where it's at now, 1,500 an ounce, 16, 17. What I'm saying is, even in Peter's day, there was a value attached to gold. Today it's precious. Listen, it's a rare commodity. It's scarce. It's not, you don't find it on every street corner. You have to go digging for it. You have to go mining for it. And not everybody that goes mining for it finds it. And so we understand that the price of gold is set by a demand for it. And so as the demand increases, the price increases. And so tonight as we look, the price of faith, the Bible said in verse 7, being much more precious than of gold. So do you realize tonight that you attest a value to gold, jewelry, diamonds, whatever it is? You say, man, that's valuable. Well, may I say tonight that the God of heaven, the God of heaven who created it all, who understands the price and the value of gold, says that your faith and the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. Oh, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, I say this often, I'll say it again. The thing that we find precious, gold, silver, precious stones, you realize that God uses that for asphalt, amen? That when we get to heaven, the street is paved with gold, the foundation is precious stones, there's gates of pearl. The things that we hold most precious are building materials for the Lord. And so as we look at that, he doesn't see the value in gold. He sees the value in your faith. He sees the value in the fire that you have to go through and trust in God. Why? Because he said that's much more precious than gold. It is eternal. My friend, gold is gonna go away. Precious stones, your job, your house, your car, everything that we hold valuable in this temporal life, in this earthly life, is going to be burned up one day. But the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the trying of your faith, the crowns that you earn, hey, praise God, because you'll trust God that we cast at his feet one day, are more precious than gold. And so tonight as we look at this and we see what is precious for us, may we embrace these trials and this fire that we go through. I didn't say it was easy. We already established it's heavy. It's hard. It deters us. It paralyzes us. But we can rely on the Lord. And my friend, that is more precious than gold. And so we see the price. But then we see what is precious for us is his praise, or the praise. The Bible said, unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this evening. This world doesn't think much of you. This world doesn't think much of me. Doesn't think much of God. Doesn't think much of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't think the church is essential. But the Bible tells us here, unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. They may not think we're much. They may think we're trash. But I want to say this. God thinks we're something. Amen. And so when he comes back, when Jesus comes back to rescue his church, we want to have something to give back. We want to have something to honor and praise him with. And my friend, his honor and glory is what matters most. His glory is what matters most in our lives. This church is not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. Listen, whether or not it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it is, it's not about what you want, what I want. It's about what he wants. And so maybe in this pandemic, in this fire that we're going through, this trial, you ever thought instead of sitting back, sucking our thumbs, whining on Facebook about what the government does and doesn't do, maybe it's time that we got out and did something for God? Amen. Listen, stop whining about how bad things are and look at what God's given us and the command and the blessing and the burden he's given us, and let's do something that has eternal value for the praise and the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be what's most precious to you. Not your house, not your car, not your 401k, not your stimulus money, not your $2,000 a month the government wants to give you, not your unemployment that's gone up. Listen, who cares about all that? Friend, I want to say this tonight. Jesus is coming back. It's time God's people get ready for it. It's time God's people start going and telling other people about it, because our trials are not going to stop. Matter of fact, they may get more. They may be more diverse. They may be more in new numbers. And we have to realize tonight that none of that matters when Jesus comes back. Did we honor and glorify him in the trial? Then finally, number three, what is the prize for us? We've seen what is precious for us and what is pressing on us. But number three, what is the prize for us? In verse 8 and 9, whom having not seen, praise God, we hadn't seen him, ye love. There it is. You ought to circle that. Do you love him? Oh, yeah, I love him. I love him. I love what God does for me. He's so good to me. Didn't ask you that. I ask you, do you love him? Because if you love him like you say you love him, when you go through the trials, you're still going to love him. Not going to question him. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. Right? Hadn't laid eyes on him, Brother Jimmy, but he says believing. I believe, I trust him. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's what we're looking for. There's the prize, right? Hey, what's the prize? In verse number 8, the prize is the Savior. He's all that matters. Friend, listen. When it's all said, he's all that matters. Today, he's all we got. I don't know what the government's going to do. I don't care what the government's going to do. I want Jesus. Amen. I know what the governor does or doesn't do. Hey, has nothing to do with my walk with God. It should not have anything to do with my desire for him. And so this evening, as we look at what the prize is, it is not a life of ease. It is not a life of being subdued. It is not a life of calmness. It is a life with Jesus Christ in it. It is a life of knowing him intimately. And this evening, we prove our love for him. He fellowships with us. We glorify him. And one day we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. May I say the prize for you tonight is not about an easy life without pain, without struggle, without fire. That's not what we're looking for, friend. And that is not what you'll ever get in this life. My friend, the prize that you have is Jesus. He's all that matters. He is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, and he is all that really matters in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, the prize for us is our salvation. Verse number 9, receiving the end of your faith. That's important, because in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You ever thought about this? There's going to be a day when we don't have to have faith anymore. We do not have to preach and sing and love someone we've never laid our eyes on. Because one day when he comes back, when he breaks the eastern sky open, says, come up hither, our faith is over. We'll see him face to face, my friend. The end is near. I'm not prophesying that coronavirus is the end. I'm not saying that Jesus has to come back because of a pandemic. And I heard one guy say, well, this is a pandemic, diseases, and now we're looking at the potential and possibility of famine. Maybe so. It may be another 10 years. It may be another 10 minutes. It may be 10 seconds. It may be 1,000 years. I don't think it will be, but it may be. Whatever the time, he is coming back, and the end is near. In Peter's day, in Paul's day, they were looking for him to come back then, and we ought to be looking for him to come back now. The end is near. I'm 49 years old. I don't know if I'll be here when Jesus comes back. I'm not as old as Brother Jimmy. He's about 149. He just had a birthday. But whatever it is, we may go by the way of the grave. We may go by the way of the rapture. But whatever it is, you're closer to eternity today than you were yesterday. The end is nearer today than it was yesterday. The finish line is in sight. We're almost there. We're almost ready. We're almost at the point where we don't have to have faith ever again. So may I say this, child of God, hold on, amen. Just keep going, keep walking, keep fighting, keep praying, keep giving, keep preaching, keep loving, keep soul winning. Just keep walking with God in the fire, because your faith is being tried. And God says in his word that is more precious than gold. Now tonight as we close, I want you to think about that. As you think about your life and the trials, it's pressing. God knows that. But they're not eternal trials. They're heavy, but it'll end. There's a lot of them, but there'll be some rest in them. What is precious for us? It's the process. The trying of our faith is more precious, right? And then finally, the prize. Him. We want to know him. But if you read your Bible and you know it, we know him and his suffering. This evening, you're not ever going to know him intimately like you and I need to know him without some suffering. Because he suffered. Have faith in your fire. Keep faith under fire. And realize God is refining us, making us more like Jesus. I didn't say go out and try to find the fire, but it's coming. And when you are in it, realize God's doing something for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for the precious word of God. Use our trials to make us more like you. Thank you for all those that have tuned in tonight. Just pray that we've encouraged them. There's one that does not know Jesus as Savior. May they fall down, confess their sins before you, ask you to be their Savior before it's eternally too late. Keep us strong, faithful in the fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in tonight. Hope the message was a help to you. And again, we will be online. We'll do a drive-in service on Sunday morning. Hope you'll try to make it and be with us. We'll also be online and doing our phone-in service as well. And so make sure you tune in on Sunday. Again, pray for us as we go to Raleigh. And God give us wisdom. And we appreciate your kind words. We've gotten so many requests and comments, and we appreciate that. It's hard not to preach to people. But to know that you're there watching, and if you are watching, please make sure you give us a thumbs up or a comment. Just not so much that we go around bragging how many people watch, but it encourages us to know that what we're doing is helping you. So thank you again for tuning in tonight, and we will see you on Sunday morning. Good night.